Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
For the second scripture, I changed my mind. So I went for a more complete description of John the Baptist. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew 3, 1-5, and that's, I even looked, page 2 in the New Testament, if you're a follower alonger. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to see me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. I read somewhere this week that John was paleo before it was fashionable to be paleo. And I don't know where you stand on wild honey, but I draw the line at locusts myself. At least now, although someday, you know. So who was this John? That was one of the big issues in the scriptures, in the Gospels. He was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a woman thought to be barren till she was became pregnant with John. She was a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you may recall the story of when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, John in the womb leapt because when Jesus, that Mary with Jesus came by. He was born and grew. We don't hear much of him then, as we don't with Jesus in the middle days. But then at the start of his ministry, we pick up some stuff. Mark starts his gospel with the baptism with John the Baptist. And John figures in all three Gospels. The Gospel of John is not John the Baptist, Gospel of John, different person, works a lot with, is John the Messiah? Is he the one that was supposed to come? And because this was later on, and some of the things that Jesus had talked about didn't seem to be happening. And so they were, again, revisiting this. Who really is the Messiah? John himself was very clear about it. He was asked, and I'm kind of conflating the three or four accounts, are you the Messiah? He said, no, I'm not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? May seem a strange question, but some among you will realize, I know that Elijah supposedly did not die, but he was taken up into heaven and thus was a candidate, I guess, to reappear. And he says, no, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? Because the people were promised that a prophet like Moses would be raised up. And he said, no, I'm not the prophet. Well, then who are you? He says, I'm the voice crying out in the wilderness. I'm the one that's here to tell you about something that's going to happen. They ask him why he baptized only with water. Contrast to Jesus' baptism, which, you know, in the scripture it says Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, because of fire codes, we use water and the Holy Spirit only in our normal baptism rite. But John, it makes it clear that John's baptism was not the full baptism that would happen when Jesus had made his mark. But it was a call to repentance. And remember, repent doesn't mean feel sorry about. It doesn't mean go, oh. It means change. His baptism was a baptism of change, looking for people not only to confess what had been, but to make a difference in their lives so that they wouldn't have to confess again next week. So John is there and he's baptizing, and one of my favorite portrayals of him is in the movie Last Temptation of Christ, which is a big, you know, big scandal, a big issue back, I don't know, probably 30 years ago now. But John is just, Harry Dean Stanton, I think, played him, and it's just really wild and everything. And Jesus walks up behind him. And John said, and all of a sudden he whirls around. He says, what do you want? And everybody in the theater goes, as a matter of fact, I had it on VCR. That's how old it was. And every time that happened, I still jumped, even though I knew. So I get to wondering, though, why did things have to be straightened out for Jesus? Why did the roads have to be straightened and the hills brought down and the valleys filled? You know, Jesus was quite a powerful, you know, person, preacher, presence, gave a lot to the people. So why straighten them out? Well, John was like any advanced man, I guess, in a way. He called attention to the need for something to change. None, and called attention for the need for Jesus. He pointed to the one that was going to come. You know? Not me. Yeah. The one that's going to come. You haven't seen him yet. He's going to come. And then he went deep into the background. He only came back into the scriptures twice. Once when he sent some of his followers to Jesus to find out what Jesus was all about. And Jesus just sent the followers back without any philosophical discussion or anything and just said, tell them what you see. You know, the differences that are made in people's lives. And then again when he is executed and is, well, head served on a platter, but let's not dwell on that. So he was pointing to serious issues. And I think that the reason he needed to be there to do this straightening out is that Jesus' way was a way of love and a gentle way. And so in a way, going after some of the things that were going on with a gentle way was sort of like trying to take a mountain down with a spade. Okay? So I think John was trying to get things clear so that people were ready to hear the message of Jesus. There were serious issues. The super religious of the day, the ones who thought they had it all figured out, and they thought that they were, when the roll was called up yonder, they were not only going to be first, they were going to be the only ones. And John, being a prophet by existence, turned around and said, not, well, hello, let me help you, or let me talk with you about what you believe. He said, you brood of vipers, who warned you that you needed to do something? Who warned you? Which was really a rhetorical question because it didn't matter. There were also issues in the communities. People were not taking care of each other. Tax collectors were taking more than they should be taking. Soldiers and police were extorting and taking bribes. People weren't sharing the coat and the food that they have with the people that didn't have any. And I think that it's interesting that not sharing with the needy ranks right along with taking bribes and being dishonest. In other words, it wasn't some kind of a secondary thing you did after, you did later on. Luke is the one that goes into that. And these issues had some chilling consequences, according to John. The axe. Jesus was an axe man with the axe already and ready to cut down the trees that didn't bear good fruit. And he pictures Jesus at the last day, at the granary, winnowing the wheat from the chaff and burning the chaff in an unquenchable fire. Not a picture we have of Jesus for the most part. Now, at the ends of two, at least, of the Gospels, three of the Gospels, there are passages that talk about this same kind of a judgment. But a lot of the scholars think that those, rather than coming so much straight from Jesus' mouth, they were, the Gospels were all written much later on, and they thought. Some think that those were added to kind of punch up the message a little bit because people have always been uncomfortable with Jesus' message of peace and love and comfort. It just doesn't seem like the most efficient way to take care of things, but it was his way. By the way, John the Baptist, Jonathan Edwards had a touch of John the Baptist in him. Remember his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, went on for 2.5-3 hours. I remember that he was making his points, and he was said 28thly, 29thly, so on. But when he preached first in Northampton, Mass., and then he preached the same sermon. Traveling preachers sometimes do that. They take the same sermon in Enfield, Connecticut. Actually, the precursor to the church I was married in. Luckily, he was gone. But it says that, but the account of the day said that the people were were screaming and crying and writhing in the aisles on the floor for fear for their souls, for fear for themselves. So that, and that was one of the starts of what's called one of the great awakenings in Christian, you know, in Christian belief and faith in the United States. So my thought is that sometimes you just need a John the Baptist. You just need somebody who's gonna talk about something more than a little more definitive. Frederick Buechner in The Reflection says, you know, later on John the Baptist got a little kind of disquieted about Jesus because he didn't do what John really wanted. A lot of people were disquieted with Jesus because a lot thought he was going to be the Messiah who would come in and with an army and wipe out the Romans and restore the kingdom. But Jesus just loved people. Today, I think we need a John the Baptist. We need someone who will speak to the world, to our country, to our nation, to us, and especially to the religious and other leaders, and remind them that they're called to be better. We're all called to be better. Sometimes you need to get a little angry, a little wild, because you've got to call out those who claim Jesus' name but do not preach or follow what he has brought to us. We're caught up in self-interest and taking care of our prejudices and our fears. The gospel teaches us to be outward directed, yes, to love self, but it's not just that. Perhaps somebody who will speak the language of the times, who will redirect the leaders from the call that they seem to be following to the call to really follow and be conscious of Jesus' way. We have to have the Jesus we know in our hearts and our minds and be ready to reach out. And if John the Baptist comes, we need to walk right up there and say, yes, do me. I repent. I want to be better. And I'm willing to be better. I'm willing to make whatever changes I need to follow Jesus more closely. But by the way, John, this is me speaking, I'm not going to do it because of some picture of Jesus at the winnowing, you know, on the granary floor. And I'm not going to do it because of the axe at the roots. I'm going to do it because I love Jesus and because I really feel called to keep doing that. And to continue to do that better. We have to reach out and be careful for those who are put upon, those who are neglected, those who are ignored, whether they're sitting with us here in the pews today or whether they're halfway around the world in a refugee camp. But all people need to hear the call to change, even those. They also need to be straightened, leveled, filled, and the rough places made low, so that we can move more easily in the way of Jesus. Amen.